Round up a posse, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A podcast that loves Italian beef sandwiches from Wrigleyville South in Austin, Texas. Offending lazy people everywhere, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a propitious day in the land of Medicare for the Lazy Man. This is our 500th episode, and we are so proud to have been serving you with Medicare knowledge for the last 499 episodes. We can only hope that it continues in its usual inimitable fashion for one more episode at least, so we can count down the last of 500 episodes at the end of the podcast today. Welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. We are very pleased to have you with us today. It's an effort to help people feel comfortable about Medicare. And many people have an impending encounter with Medicare, a date with destiny, as it were. And our goal here is to help people feel confident that they're going to encounter Medicare, conquer Medicare, and walk away from the battlefield unscathed. In fact, happy that the encounter occurred. So one way to do that is to have a weapon in your hands that is unmatched by any enemies of yours. And that weapon could be my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. You can get that weapon at barnesandnoble.com. It's a beautiful paperback with colorful illustrations, and it would cost you $9. If you prefer to go to Amazon.com and put into the search window Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023, you're going to have a choice of four different editions. You're going to have a choice between the paperback with black and white illustrations, the Audible book, wherein someone reads it to you, the Kindle ebook, which is a very reasonably priced edition of my book, or the magnificent hardcover, colorful illustrations and all, for $22, making an excellent gift for friends and loved ones alike. So whatever you choose, you're going to have the same knowledge at your hands that turns that book into a weapon to fight evildoers with. Medicare is a field that can easily be confusing and intimidating, but with that weapon in your hands, you will conquer Medicare and come out the winner every time. And I know somebody who can attest to that or testify to that, and that is Randy Carson. He is sitting right on the other side of the screen from me, and he looks like he's ready to start the day. So Randy, join us, will you?
Thanks. I am ready to start the day because I certainly wanted to congratulate you, Doug, on your 500th episode. That's a monumental task, considering that we started out, what, 2.5 years ago, you said? 3.5 years ago?
I would say it was January of 2020 is my recollection. So three years ago.
Okay. Yeah, and we frankly, started out not... Go ahead.
Well, you deserve as much of the credit as I do because you have, without you, this would have been impossible. Witness the fact that when you came down with the Wuhan flu, you were hauled off to the hospital and they kept you locked up there until you could tell them exactly where you were, which apparently was a couple of weeks. But meantime, once I played out the episodes that we had stacked up, the podcast went dark. Because it could not function without your skillful input. So thank you for surviving that experience and coming back.
Well, thanks, Doug. I appreciate the thoughts. I really do. You're a gentleman and a scholar to have said that. I really, 500 episodes, that's a lot of work on everybody's part. And I want people to do something special for me. I want you to write Doug at his email address, dbj@mlmmailbag.com. And give him, some sort of a recollection about, a particular episode that you enjoyed.
Where were you when you heard your favorite episode?
That's right. Where were you when you heard your favorite episode of, Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast? So anyway, if you do that for me, I would certainly appreciate it. And I'm going to turn it back over to Doug now.
All righty. Well, listen, I had a person contact me. This happens every day, and I am grateful for the fact that there's a bunch of people out there every day. New people discover Medicare for the Lazy Man, and they ask me questions. They often ask me what my recommended products would cost and so forth and so on, and or do they have a situation that they need assistance with. And so I was contacted by a woman yesterday from Texas who has an interesting situation. She said, I got to decide whether to stay on my husband's employer plan for the duration. He just got laid off for the duration of the extended insurance coverage that, you know, Congress has mandated way back in the, I think it was the 1980s when this, it was mandated that there'd be, God, I'm trying to think of the term now, but anyway, so, or should I go on Medicare right away? I'm turning 65 in a couple of months. And I said, well, fill out this questionnaire and let's go to work and see which one makes the most sense for you. And so, Cobra, that's what I was trying to think of. She was on Cobra, and her husband's, not even close to 65 yet. So basically we're talking about her and would it be better for her to leave Cobra? And I said, you know, Cobra's pretty expensive, so it may be that it's going to be better for you to go on Medicare now. And so I said, send me your poop. And she did. And part of that poop was a list of five drugs that she takes. So I, last night watching TV, I said, let's find out what the cost of her drug plan would be, which drug plan out of about 25 in her area is going to be the least costly for her. And so I did that. I worked that out on the government website, plugged all of her information into the government database, and it came back with the three cheapest plans. And those, they were pretty close to the same price, and they were horrifically, horrifically expensive. And I found out the reason why. One of her drugs is a drug that is outrageously expensive right now. And frankly, I don't think it is accepted for coverage by any drug plan, because I was searching the government database and it was coming up that all four of her five drugs, the first four, were covered. And without the expensive fifth drug, her coverage would be, you know, her drugs would cost her just a few dollars every month. But with this other plan, this other drug in her her particular panoply of drugs that she takes, it's going to be hugely expensive. And the drug in question is called, I think it's pronounced Wegovy, W-E-G-O-V-Y. It's a weight loss drug, and it must be fairly new. It's not covered by any drug plan, because when I reran the search and took out this particular drug, the results were the same. The three least expensive plans were the same. And that's because the database calculated the cost for her drug plan without consideration of this hugely expensive drug. And it said, you're just going to have to pay full retail price for the drug. When you take it out, the other four drugs were handled the same way. And I know exactly which drug plan is going to be the cheapest for her. But that set my imagination at work. And I thought, what is this drug and what is it for? And is it, I wondered for a moment if it was like insulin, which should be treated differently, but the government database hasn't caught up to that change yet. And so I did a little research and I found out that that's not the case. It is not insulin. It's a weight loss drug for people who have other problems like high blood pressure caused by their excess weight. So I'm going to read a little bit of a research article I discovered about this drug, and it's entitled Wegovy Works. But here's what happens if you can't afford to keep taking the drug. Remember, I said it's very expensive. So the article goes on to say Wegovy has been called a major breakthrough, given how well it works to reduce body weight. But the injection drug, that's the other thing, she injects herself with this drug once a week. The injection drug is extremely expensive, and when people cannot afford to stay on it, they experience rebound weight gain that is hard to stop. That makes me think maybe you should never start taking it. It goes on to say, from TikTok influencers talking it up to celebrities worrying about Ozempic face, drugs like Wegovy and Ozempic are being touted as weight loss miracles in a country obsessed with slimness. But the drugs aren't intended for cosmetic weight loss. Ozempic is approved for diabetes, and Wegovy is for people with obesity who also have weight-related conditions such as high blood pressure or high cholesterol that put them at risk of heart disease. That is millions of Americans. And the evidence shows the new class of drugs are far more effective than prior obesity medications. A landmark clinical trial published in the New England Journal of Medicine 2 years ago found that the drug led to a 15% reduction in body weight on average. There's been such an increase in demand that an FDA database lists the medication's active ingredient, semaglutide, I think it is, as a semaglutide. Yeah, that's it. As currently in shortage. Its manufacturer says that keeping supplies stable is a priority. The company also markets Ozempic to treat diabetes, which is a lower dose of semaglutide, but at a cost of about $1,400 a month. Out of pocket, when insurance doesn't cover it, many people cannot afford to stay on that medication for the long term. And when people stop taking it, there's often rebound weight gain that's hard to control. In fact, a study found that most people gain back most of the weight within a year of stopping the medicine. So that's what's happening, let's see, to Yolanda Hamilton from South Holland, Illinois. Hamilton's doctor prescribed Wegovy because she had an elevated BMI, body mass index, high blood pressure, and elevated blood sugar. She lost 60 pounds and started feeling much better. It gave me much more energy, she says, allowing her to exercise and do household chores. Her cravings for sugar subsided, and she felt satisfied from smaller meals. I was very surprised by how good I felt, Hamilton said. The drug is administered by once-a-week injection at home, which Hamilton said is easy to do. Her Aetna insurance plan covered the cost of medication, but when she changed jobs last fall, her new insurance plan through Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois denied coverage. Now, I've got to step back here. Depending on the size of her companies, it might not have been the insurance company that made that decision. It was more likely that her employer had a self-funded plan and told the insurance company to cover or not to cover that drug for her use. So it's probably not the fault of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, because if the employer designed a self-funded plan and told Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois not to cover that drug, then they would be a whipping boy. They would be blamed by a disgruntled employee rather than the employer being blamed. That tends to keep morale a little bit higher when the employer is making tough decisions about what sort of benefits to put into their insurance plan for the employees. Anyway, this Hamilton lady now works in a hospital ER registering patients, which requires her to sit most of the day. And after a few months of not taking the drug, she has gained back 20 pounds. I'm very frustrated about the weight coming back in so little time, she said. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois told NPR its benefits offered by employer plans can vary. Weight loss drugs like Wegovy may be covered depending on the member's benefit plan, a spokesperson for the company said. Many other insurance carriers also determine coverage based on what the employers are willing to cover. Ah, there you go. That is exactly what I was saying a few minutes ago. The employer often makes the choice if it's a large enough company to have a self-funded plan. So, barriers to life-changing drug. The rebound weight gain is not a surprise given how the medication works. Wegovy's active ingredient, semaglutide, is a GLP-1 or a glucagon-like peptide, which mimics the GLP-1 safety hormones. Oh, it's pretty exciting stuff here. Safety hormones in our bodies. When we eat that, it's released from our intestines and sends a signal to our brain centers that control appetite. This hormone is telling your brain, I'm full. I don't need to eat anymore. This doctor who made that statement also serves on an advisory board. So he's very well versed in nutritional therapy. What the pharmaceutical companies have done is taken the hormone that is naturally occurring and restructured it into a drug. So it's not a surprise that when people stop taking the medicine, they start to feel hunger. So this back to the Hamilton lady, she said, I crave sweets and her appetite has increased. She no longer feels satisfied with small meals. I'm losing my energy, she said, as the weight comes back. Her doctor's office is helping Hamilton appeal the insurance denial. But as she waits, she's worried that stopping the medication will also influence her blood pressure and blood sugar. She's at risk of having these conditions worsen with the regaining of the weight. If I gain more weight, I will be on more medications, said Hamilton, giving her long struggle with weight loss. She'd finally found something that was working. Obesity rates rise during the pandemic, the panic, I call it, fueled by stress, job loss, and sedentary lifestyle. We're seeing a lot of patients have this rebound weight gain, and it can really be devastating, says a different doctor, a family physician based in North Carolina. Unfortunately, being a new medication, it's one of these that's subject to the pricing of the manufacturer. A representative from the company that makes it offers a $500 coupon for Wegovy to reduce the cost for patients paying cash. But let's see, it is still difficult for people, $1,300 a month for people paying out of pocket, which is out of reach of most people, even if they do have a coupon. On the other hand, Ms. Hamilton says Wegovy is revolutionary, but she says she definitely can't afford to pay for it. Some people who need it the most are unable to access it. Well, that's unfortunate, but that's the way life is structured, I think. We're talking about a huge health equity issue. Black and Hispanic adults have higher rates of, blacks and Hispanics hardest hit. Since Wegovy was approved by the FDA in 2021, some insurance plans have begun to cover the medication for people who meet clinical prescribing guidelines. According to the FDA, people are eligible if they have a BMI of 27 or higher and also have at least one weight-related ailment such as hypertension, diabetes, or high cholesterol, or if they have a BMI of 30 or higher, regardless of weight-related ailments. But insurance coverage is very spotty. Medicare doesn't cover Wegovy or other weight loss drugs, and many insurers follow Medicare as a lead. Increasingly, if there's pressure to change this, there is pressure to change this, as STAT, which I think is a website of medical information, as they reported last week, the Moffitt Cancer Center in Florida is lobbying for legislation that would allow Medicare to pay for obesity drugs, citing the link between obesity and cancer risk. I didn't know there was such a thing. In addition, the American Academy of Pediatrics has new guidance recommending that pediatricians offer weight loss drugs to adolescents 12 and older with obesity as an adjunct to behavior change and lifestyle interventions. Oh, well, this Wegovy is really expensive, but apparently it works. But I don't like the idea that the weight comes bouncing back once you stop taking it. That seems like maybe it's better never to start. But anyway, I'm looking at Randy as though he's going to respond, but he's got his mic off. So any thoughts he has are his own, and I'm not privy to them.
Well, when you said that, Doug, you know what it reminded me of?
What's that?
I, as I've mentioned to you in the past, am a professional quit smoker.
Yes, I quit quitting. I got so professional at it.
So I just wanted to point out that the reason it reminded me of this is that every time I quit, it came back worse.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can understand it.
There's a sort of a parallel in my mind. Now, it may not have a darn thing to do with each other, but boy, it sure reminded me of that.
Well, yeah, I guess it would be exactly parallel if you had taken a quit smoking drug, then stopped taking that drug and felt the urge to smoke come back in droves or in waves. I had another little article here I probably should run through so I can get rid of it. It is COVID test Medicare scam may be a trial run for further fraud. So somebody who figured out a fraudulent activity during the panic, the COVID panic, may be using that same technology or same fraudulent activity to continue collect their ill-gotten gains. Medicare coverage for at-home COVID-19 tests ended last week, but the scams spawned by temporary panic benefits could have lingering consequences for people on Medicare. Medicare advocates around the country who track fraud notices an 11th-hour noticed an 11th-hour rise in complaints from beneficiaries who received tests sometimes by the dozen that they never requested. It's a signal that someone may have been using and could continue to use the Medicare participants' information to improperly bill the federal government. The Department of Health and Human Services and Office of Inspector General, we've had, Randy and I have talked about their activities several times because they examine and report on fraudulent activity in Medicare Advantage plans. And boy, they've found plenty of that in Medicare Advantage plans. But in this situation, they're receiving complaints from around the country about unsolicited tests being billed to Medicare. Earlier this year, the office posted a fraud warning on its website urging consumers to report this and other COVID-related scams. Unfortunately, most of these schemes are the result of bad actors receiving stolen Medicare participant information. Being targeted once can mean a person is vulnerable to future scams. A stolen Medicare number can be used repeatedly to get payment for all kinds of things or sold to other fraudsters. The organization that this spokesman works for helps identify and educate beneficiaries about Medicare fraud. If you have someone else's Medicare number, you can bill Medicare for procedures, tests, drugs, and services, and durable medical equipment. On the dark side, Medicare numbers are more valuable than a credit card or Social Security number. Oh, on the dark web. Ah, I've never been to the dark web. I understand it's a spooky, scary place. But on the dark web, a Medicare number is more valuable than a credit card or Social Security number, it says here. One Medicare participant in Indiana suspected something was amiss after receiving 32 unrequested COVID-19 tests over a 10-day period. None of the people who submitted a complaint recalls giving out their Medicare number. In another variation of the problem, Medicare paid for tests in some Ohio Medicare participants who never received them. Information is the commodity of the 21st century. It's possible that some unwanted packages were a mistake after pharmacies or other suppliers turned a one-time request into a continuing monthly order, a switch allowed under the program's rules that Medicare participants were responsible for correcting. So it goes on to say that apparently these people are ordering these tests on behalf of others who are on Medicare and had no idea. I did see something interesting in this. This woman started receiving these tests. She asked for a couple of tests, and she was put into an automatic test provider type of situation from the supplier of the tests, and she kept receiving them. But once the COVID-19 panic went away, she recontacted the person or the government agency supplying the tests and asked that they stop sending her tests. She didn't need them anymore. And she was told that they are not able to be stopped. She didn't pay for the supply, but that's not why she's concerned. I don't want my government paying for something that I'm not going to use and I didn't ask for, she said. I feel like it's such a waste of money. Well, nothing new there. The government has open spigot in some cases where money just goes pouring out the door and we can't seem to do much about it. So that's the the end of our curated content, but I bet you have a little something else that we could do to close out the episode
with. I do. I have a question.
I've been waiting for this.
This is called a question from the podcast engineer. And I'm not going to take credit for having dreamt up these questions, but here you go.
I ask away.
I did want to let you know that in honor of our 500th episode, I bought a dollar's worth of time to get today instead of 75 cents.
Oh boy, I can hear the on-off switches being exercised right now. People going, I'm sick of this already.
So here you go.
Yes, sir.
I think this you'll be able to do this one, you know, like right off the top. I mean, you could do this standing on your head while you're working on your Corvette.
Okay.
Will I automatically, Mr. Podcast Engineer Expert Question Giver, will I automatically be enrolled in Medicare when I turn 65?
No, unless you're on
Social Security. That's the end of that.
Oh. I couldn't think of a shorter word to use. The whole thing is that if you are collecting Social Security benefits when you turn 65, they're going to enroll you like nobody's business. You'll be slapped right into Medicare, whether you want to or not. But your enrollment materials that show up in the U.S. mail will include a reply card that will say, send this back if you don't want Medicare right now. So that would be the way that you could get out of it. But if you're not taking Social Security, they don't even know you exist. Well, they probably know you exist, but they don't come and get you and enroll you in Medicare. You have to be proactive. And typically when you talk to a person like me and you might say, well, how do I start this whole Medicare thing? Because I'm fixing to retire in a few months and I need to get going on that. Then I would tell you, go to this website, follow the directions, and complete your enrollment online. And you'll know it was successful in a few days when your little online account, all of a sudden, without warning, has a benefit verification letter or a document that shows that your Medicare number has been assigned. And when it says your start date for Part A and your start date for Part B are such and such, then you'll know that you've been approved for Medicare starting on whatever dates they put in that letter. Eventually, you're going to get an ID card in the mail, but that takes a lot longer. So I hope that was a sufficient answer for that question, Randy.
Yes, absolutely. I knew it was going to be an easy one. I didn't know it was going to be quite that easy, but
you got a whole bunch more, though. So I'm thinking you're going to be stumping the Medicare expert at some point.
As they go down the list, it's, I assume, going to get more difficult, but I have full and unqualified confidence in your ability to walk right through this like you were sliding butter off a knife.
Oh, pshaw. Oh, I hope you're right. So,
well, we need to, even though I spent a buck's worth of time today, I think we better, you know, probably close up shop. Couple things we always talk about. Number one is Doug is a nationwide licensed agent to help you with your Medicare supplement planning and purchasing, as well as your drug plans. And as I asked earlier, because this is a special episode for us, write Doug at dbj@mlmmailbag.com and mention to him what your favorite episode was. I think that'll give him a kick. Check us out on the website at medicareforthelazyman.com. You can get the information out of his book at Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, or a number of other types at Amazon. And you look for Amazon. You don't look for Amazon. You look for Medicare for the Lazy Man on Amazon, the 2023 version. You don't want to get an old one because they're still out there. And ultimately, they come in audio, they come in Kindle, they come in a lot of different flavors, but see if you can find a place to give us a rating. We'd love it. 5 stars would be really, really cool for the podcast and the book, but we thank you for joining us as we always do. You could have been a number of different places, and you weren't. You were here with us listening to Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast with Doug Jones. Today, you spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug. Where were you originally from? Oklahoma. That's right.
Yeah. Oklahoma. How quickly we forget.
You were originally from.
You've only said that 500 times.
I know. I said it 500 times. I've got to keep going. I can't stop. Anyway, Doug was from the great state of Oklahoma originally, and now he's living in the great state of Arizona, up in the high altitudes behind Cave Creek, Arizona, in his fortress of solitude, and I'm going to clock it in today. Oh, let's put him down below the oxygen level, 9,800 feet.
Well, I wasted money on that swimming pool. It's too cold up here to enjoy it. Thank you, Randy, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. We'll look forward to our next encounter. Bye-bye.